Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now, on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
It's 8:36. It's O'Connor and Company with Larry O'Connor and Julie Gunlock this Tuesday morning. Coming up in 30 minutes, the man is back, Chris Plant, on The Chris Plant Show. He'll be right here. But before now and then, we've got plenty more to do with Virginia Delegate Nick Freitas, one of our favorites down there in Richmond, member of the Virginia House of Delegates, Culpepper to be exact. Hey, Delegate Freitas, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So there's a lot going on down there. We've been talking about the Save Girls Sports bill. We talked about the Sages bill, and I want to get into those details. And if anybody missed the beginning of the program, please listen to the 5 o'clock hour on the podcast so you can hear the details of Sages bill. But you're also focusing on quite a few bills that you're personally sponsoring. I'd love to start with the higher education public transparency bill here. What is this? I mean, again, so many of these things seem like no-brainers. This has to do with the diversity officers, government relations officers employed by how much they're making. I mean, we should know how much our state-run colleges are spending on all of this CRT divisive stuff.
Well, and we even expanded that bill out to include a number of other things so people wouldn't feel like we were, you know, targeting one thing individually. Because here's what this comes down to for me, I think for a lot of my constituents. We've got these private foundations associated with these universities that funnel money over to it. We have universities in Virginia that are sitting on a $15 billion endowment. And yet these same universities will commonly come to the Commonwealth of Virginia and suggest that if we don't give them more money, well, gosh, they might have to raise tuition rates. Now, it's not all of them, but that happens fairly regularly. And as I explained to some people not too long ago, I don't have a great deal of respect for institutions making that argument when they lobbied the federal government to essentially federalize college loans. And now they're lobbying the federal government to forgive those loans now that they got their cut. And then they're coming back to Virginia and they're constantly asking us for more money. I think it's time that we properly understand how much money they have, how they're spending it. And we think parents and people that are going to potentially take out a second mortgage to send their kids to college should understand how these universities are spending their money, in addition to a lot of the other good work we've done to try to, you know, ascertain what is the return on investment for a college degree based off of the university you go to, based off of what your major is. This is information that parents, that students need to know in order to make an informed decision. And it's stuff we need to know as legislators and as allocators of tax dollars before we give one more dime to higher education.
Yeah, and there are schools. I mean, it just should be a no-brainer. I don't know why you would have to pass legislation to this effect. Everything should be transparent there, and which brings us to the elementary and secondary schools here. You've got another bill. This is HB 1803, and this specifically mandates parental involvement in certain. I remember back in the day when teachers and administrators would lament, oh, you know, parents are not involved. They're so apathetic. They don't get involved. Now they don't want parents involved.
Oh, we had someone that described themselves as a former educator get on and provide testimony saying that we have too much parental interference in our schools. And the interesting thing is this is after there was several of us that carried bills. And I would just tell you right now, if you haven't seen Tim Anderson's floor speech with respect to the legislation he was carrying, and all the legislation did was say that if you're going to have books with sexually explicit material, and for all the people that say those books are not out there, watch his floor speech. He provides visual aids and examples. We had to clear the pages, our 13 and 14-year-old pages, we had to clear them from the floor before he gave this presentation, where he talked about what specific libraries they were in. And he said, all we're asking for is you've got to categorize these. You've got to make sure that parents know that they're there. You've got to make it provide an online portal. And you have to give parents the ability to say my child is not allowed to check out these books, which have pictures, not even words, pictures, graphic depictions of sexual acts taking place. I don't think we got one Democrat to vote for that.
Wow.
So when you hear from these Democrat legislators as they're running for re-election that this is ridiculous and we're all book banners and these books don't exist, we provided a specific list, we provided pictures, and we didn't even ban them. Like the bill just said, you got to let parents know. And that was still too much for our Democrat colleagues.
Of course.
And then you've got HB 2426. Asra Nomani's done a tremendous amount of reporting on this, on the merit issue. This would prevent or prohibit school boards and other school officials from keeping this information from students, correct?
Yes, this was another one that we've worked closely with the governor's office on this. This is something Governor Youngkin has been very adamant about. And it's very straightforward and simple. It simply states that when a student, when some sort of like national merit scholarship or something of that nature that a student has earned is delivered to the school or the school board or the superintendent, whoever it is, that they need to pass it along to the student basically as soon as it's practicable, right? So it's not like we were being unreasonable here. We just said you don't get to hold on, and you certainly don't get to prevent the student from getting it in the first place.
Right.
And here, again, here's what was so frustrating about this. We had to listen, as our colleagues said, well, you don't really care about merit because you're not spending money the way we think you should spend. And, oh, by the way, this was just a mistake. Really, it was a mistake across 17 different schools to include several schools which have adopted ideological policies which essentially say that recognizing merit like this is a form of inequity.
Yeah.
Like, no, I definitely believe in some school districts it was an oversight, and that's fine. But now we're telling you need to get your system in place. But in other school districts, this was deliberate. And,
yes.
And they admitted it was deliberate until it started getting national level attention, because there is nothing equitable about denying a student that has worked hard the benefit of their efforts. That doesn't help anybody. In fact, it hurts everybody. And so this legislation would essentially make it very, very clear to our school districts that no matter what policies you might want to put in place, you do not get to withhold the merit and the awards and the accomplishments that these students achieve through academics.
Speaking with Delegate Nick Freitas in Virginia, there's so many bills that I want to get to, and we got to have you back as these bills make their way through the process. But I want to focus on SAGE's law. I know it's not a bill that you're sponsoring, but I'm sure you're aware of it. We talked about it earlier this morning. This has to do with the story of this girl, Sage, who was found by the FBI in Maryland, where she was victimized. She had been victimized, sexually assaulted. She had been sex trafficked. And the state of Virginia would not grant her parents custody and bring her, refused to return her to her parents because the parents were not affirming the gender identification, the pronouns. By the way, she's back to being a girl again. But the state of Virginia said that they were abusing her by not doing this. And what this merely says is that the parents are not to be in that position again. Why is there even any opposition to this?
Right.
It is so heartbreaking when you hear what happened to this little girl and how she was abused and how the school system kept all of this information from the parents because they didn't want to divulge. She was bullied and abused in a boys' room, and the school, of course, didn't want to explain why she was in the boys' room, because they were keeping this gender identity issue from the parents. This is where these rules and policies lead, Delegate Freitas, and it's tragic.
Well, I think we need to understand that what we're dealing with here is so much more, it's so much more fundamental and foundational than even a lot of the issues that we face in Richmond. And this really is a question of reality, and you can see this even with the language that is used. Because the moment you disagree with the progressives on any of these issues, you're automatically categorized as being an evil, bad, bigoted, transphobic person.
Yeah.
Now here's the problem. And my wife actually pointed this out. She goes, they're not affirming the gender, they're affirming the dysphoria.
Mm.
That's what they're affirming. And I don't understand why that's considered compassionate. In no other category, if somebody came in and they were really dealing with significant body image issues that was causing them to be bulimic, we would not prescribe diet pills and cosmetic surgery. We would attempt to help that person's psychological belief about themselves correspond to reality. But this is the one category.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Category where now we're being told that if we don't use drugs on our children, if we don't open them up to surgical procedures, if we don't reinforce the dysphoria, we're being mean. I would suggest it's the opposite. I would suggest that reinforcing a notion about oneself that does not reflect with reality is damaging and harmful to them. And regardless of how you feel about it, to tell a parent that if they're not, you are going to require them to reinforce that false narrative about themselves, that is unconscionable. Mm-hmm. But this goes back to understanding that we look at this, we have two very, very different worldviews that are actually being debated right now. And they have convinced themselves that if you as a parent don't want to reinforce the dysphoria in your child, then you're mean, you're abusive, and your child should be taken away from you. And that's the sort of thing that is going on. And as much as people want to, I think most people look at it and say, Nick, that's ridiculous. There's no way that my Democrat representative, who I know, who I've been to their event, there's no way they could believe that.
Yes, they do.
Please go and look at how they actually vote. Please go and look at the bills they carry. I'm so tired of hearing nobody wants to. We had another example. Nobody wants to take your guns. Okay, but they filed a bill that would make you a felon. A felon, if you owned a 15-round magazine, that means you lose your voting rights, right? That means you go to jail. That means you pay fines you probably can't afford. You need to understand that what is being said on the campaign trail is specifically designed to appear reasonable. Mm-hmm. That's why they talk in these esoteric terms. But when it comes down to brass tacks and the laws they write, and Sage's Law is a perfect example of this, if you don't reinforce your child's dysphoria, then you could potentially be punished or have your child taken away
from
you. Regardless of what they say on the campaign trail, that is what they do down here when they're in Richmond, actually writing laws. Because we don't write intentions, we write laws, and those laws have consequences.
Well said. Delegate Nick Freitas, I didn't want to get in your way because you were on a roll. And when Nick Freitas is on a roll, everybody stand back and listen. That's right. Thank you, Delegate. Hey, good luck with the crazies in Richmond.
Thank you very much.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now. Wherever you listen.